Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Amen. Desire your prayers today.
Yes.
Praise God. Praise God. The old spring allergies are kicked in hard this week in February for some reason. Usually don't get me till about middle of March. This has been a rough week, been a rough night last night. Praise God. If I sound like I'm in a box, I feel like I'm in a box. Amen. Praise God. Desire your prayers today. Amen. I was wondering what's blooming already, and I drove in my driveway, and a bush right there at the corner of the driveway had flowers on it. I said, wow, this is first weekend in February, and we got flowers. I said, praise God. I hope it's a short spring, even though if it's an early one, I hope it's a short one. Amen. I know. Amen. Praise God. Just like to have some relief sometime. Amen. Be able to breathe. Amen. It's hard to breathe and eat at the same time, too. I mean, when you can't breathe, you got to breathe out your mouth. You can't hold your breath for so long and stuff. It makes it tough sometimes. But God's going to see us through everything we face. Amen. My trust is in the Lord. And my confidence is in Him. Let's stand this morning. Take your Bibles to Psalms 3. Psalms 3. Praise God. Psalms number 3. We'll read this Psalms this morning. Praise God. Psalms 3, verse 1. Lords, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. For thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and my lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. You say amen to God's word.
Amen.
You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Amen. Today this week, the last several weeks, we've been talking and sharing a lot in the messages that have been given, that there's a lot of things that's in our future that we're not certain about. In this world, I can put it that way, I am certain of what God's Word tells us and His promises. But far as this country and this economy and a lot of things that we are facing, going to face in these last days, there's a lot of uncertainty. We don't know exactly what tomorrow may bring or what could happen tomorrow or the next week or the next year if Jesus tarries. And with all a lot of things that's going on and a lot of things that we see taking place, we kind of sometimes we let fear grip us. We kind of let fear slip on in us. And we're not sure of what's happening. And then Satan throws in some fear. And we kind of get nervous, a little anxious about things that's going on around us. And I believe that God doesn't want us to be like that. I believe God wants us to put our trust in Him and stay true to Him. And God will see us through everything that's going on. As it was preached last Sunday and things about our country and a lot of things that we could face in this world. If Jesus should tarry, persecution could come to the saints. A lot of things could take place in this own country. And sometimes when we start talking about that, fear gets us. We start getting fearful about things, and God doesn't want us to be fearful. A lot of times, you know, we talk about this, and we think that, well, God has left us. Well, God hasn't left us. God's not going to leave us. I believe if Jesus tarries, I believe that there is going to be some changes that will take place in this country. I don't know if so much of good changes, but we're seeing a lot of things happening, church. And I believe in time, if Jesus tarries, it could look bad for the Christians, for those who want to stand up for truth. I don't believe that it will happen overnight. I believe it will take time. I believe it, and Jesus has to tarry. I believe for our country, our government to turn completely on against Christians, a lot will have to take place. A lot of things will have to happen. And in that process, there will be a lot of uprising. There will be a lot of riots and different things. I believe that probably will happen and will take place. I believe it's going to take some time. I believe it could happen. And I believe it could come maybe even quicker than we think, church. We think about maybe 20, 30, 40, 50 years down the road. It'll be something our great-grandchildren will see. Well, it could happen far quicker than that, church. I heard this week about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, most of you familiar with him and the sacrifices he made to try to stop Hitler and try to warn people about Hitler. And he tried to warn the church in his day about Hitler and the things that was going to take place through this man. And within 6 years, the church did not believe him. Let me back up. The church, a lot of church ignored him, did not want to hear what he had to say, and didn't think it was possible. But within 6 years, the churches was taking down their crosses and things off the walls, and they was putting up pictures of Hitler in just 6 years. That short a period of time. So that lets me know that when deception comes, it can come quickly. It can deceive. It's a powerful tool, and it can deceive people very much. And, you know, we've seen here just in the last 5-10 years, we've seen a lot of things take place in this country. We never thought, you know, that they would have homosexual marriages in this country. And now we've got some states that have passed that. We never thought we would see people want to destroy property for us crying out against homosexuality and Muslim religion and the things that's going on, that they want to stop America. They want to bring destruction to this country. They do not like the freedoms we have. They do not like the God we serve. And they want to do everything possible to try to stop it. And I believe that they are still working on some plans. I know we have killed some of their main leaders, but I'm telling you, that hasn't stopped them. That hasn't stopped them. They're still going to go forth. I'm telling you, they're still going to rise up, and they're still going to try to do everything that they can do to stop this country. And I'm telling you, the problem I see is not so much of their power and the things that they're wanting to try to do and bring harm. And what really concerns me is how this country is being so ignorant of their devices and their actions and are letting them slip in through the back door, if I could put it that way, and into our governments and into our churches, and trying to call all these religions the same and saying that they're okay. And in reality, they're not. We understand that. But with all these things going on in our country, we see our economy and the condition that it's in, and praise God, help me, Lord Jesus, the debt we're in, the debt bracket that we're in, the debt that this church is in, or the country is in. We see this debt and how it has raised over the last several years into the trillions. And we can't even multiply that. You got to get special calculators to figure all that up. And the trillion debt that this country's in, and how we could be easily overtaken by other countries. We see Iraq, you know, wanting to build some nuclear warheads and the things that they are doing, church. I'm telling you, they're building them to use them. They're not building them just to flex their muscles. They're building them because they want to use them. And they want to bring destruction to us. And I see all these things going on. And a lot of times it brings fear to mankind. But not just in the country, church. We can also, a lot of times, Satan wants to use fear in our lives personally. We have sicknesses and different things that we face. Different tragedies that we have personally. And a lot of times fear grips us. A lot of times Satan just wants to come in like and just bombard us one after another. And it just seems like we get one thing taken care of and something else happens. And it's just one thing right after another. And fear grips us a lot of times. We let that fear slip in. I know a lot of times in my situation, I'm being self-employed, you know, and the provider of our family and having to do these things. I know all it would take is for me just to have one little accident, break a leg, break an arm, something simple like that would shut me down from being able to work or do the kind of work that I do. And I understand that. And I have to day by day just go in faith, ask God to keep me and provide and make a way. And the Lord takes care of us. But I understand, church, how close an accident or how close a sickness could change my life. Or change your life. I see in this country, getting away from the economy and the condition it's in, I can see how one storm could bring destruction to this country. Could bring it to its knees. One drought. One country-wide drought could bring destruction. We see how people would react when things, destruction comes. We've seen with some of the storms in New Orleans and different things. How destruction comes to them and it brings panic. And when it brings panic, it brings chaos. And then it brings anger. And it brings people retaliating and anger and wrong ways. Just one little storm could do that, church. And when we stop and think about it and we let Satan talk to us, it brings that fear. The Bible tells us that God is not a God of fear, church. He doesn't want us to walk in fear. When we hear the messages that come forth and says that, you know, about destruction to come and things, it isn't that God has left us or God has forsaken us. It's God is just wanting to prepare us because He's concerned about us. He cares about us. And He doesn't want that to message to bring fear to our lives. He wants us to prepare for things like that. So what we have to do as church is not let that fear come in, but just be prepared for it. And whatever tomorrow may bring, God hasn't forsaken us. If destruction should come, if I should fall tomorrow on the job and break my back, I cannot let fear grip me. God has not forsaken me. He is still with me and He will still provide. He will see me through the darkest valleys. And here we find in the psalm that we read in Psalms 3. The Bible tells us this is a psalm that David has wrote when he is fleeing from Absalom, his son. And he's on the run. He should be on the throne as king, but he's on the run now. His own son, his own children have turned against him. This has to be a hard thing for David. Now I know the result that he committed and the adulterous acts that he committed and also having a murdered. I understand this is some of the judgment that's going to be upon him. The Bible says that the judgment that came to him that the sword would not leave his family. I know this is some of his destruction because of his actions, but he's still a child of God. He's still called upon God. And here we find it. He is on the run from his own children. It has to be a hard thing for your own children to turn from you. It's one thing for them just to turn on you and say, I don't want to live like you raised me and I'm going to go my own separate way. David's children done even more than that. They're after him to kill him. They want to take him out. They just don't know what I'm saying. David, we don't want to live like you raised us. We don't want to live like you raised us, and we're going to kill you too. So here he is in a bad situation, church. He has all this coming against him. And we find here, though, he still is going to call upon the name of the Lord in the times of his trouble. The Bible says in verse 1, the Bible says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Here we find, church, how many times have I already mentioned? It seems like we just have trouble after trouble sometimes. We wonder what's going to be next. What's going to happen next? You know, we have people are sick, and it seems like they get better. And then somebody else gets sick. We have Sister Wood, seems like she's doing good Wednesday, now back struggling, sick. I find Sister Knox and Brother Knox in the same situation. It just seems like every time we turn around, we have some kind of problem facing us. We have this sickness or this problem, this breaks, this goes wrong. Our government has made some kind of foolish decision, and just on and on. It just seems like one after another. And the psalmist David, he writes this and says, you know, those that are troubling me, all these troubles have increased. There are many who have risen up against me. If you have your Bibles, go over into 2 Psalms. Notice here. Second Samuel. Notice here how many people have risen up against him. Notice in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 13. Let's go over to chapter 17 first, then we're going to come back to. Let's go over to 17, verse 1, then we're going to come back to chapter 15. 17. Moreover, Ahithophel, if I pronounce that right, said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. 12,000 men will rise up and are going to hunt David down like a rabbit. Now he's got some problems. He's got 12,000 problems. And when he rides there in the Psalms we read, in chapter 3, he talks about those that are after me have increased. There's many that have come after me. It's not that Absalom's going to just raise up an army of men to come after him. Notice back in chapter 15, I asked you to go to earlier. Notice in 15, verse 13. Notice as he writes here. He says, and there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. They're not after you, David, anymore. Remember, they used to sing praises to David. Remember that?
Yeah.
And now the hearts, Absalom has deceived the people, and the hearts of men are now for Absalom. And then Absalom's going to raise up 12,000 men to go after his father David. He has some problems, church. Imagine he's on the run. Now David's a man, I believe, just like we are. And I believe Satan probably brought fear into him. What am I going to do? The heart of the people are against me.
Right.
See, that's what the government wants to do with false religions and things. They want to deceive them. The Muslims, they want to deceive the people. They want to get their hearts. They want to deceive them to think that they're right and we're wrong. And once they win their hearts, then they can instruct them to do anything.
Come on, brother.
That's the way they do.
Oh, yeah.
Absalom wanted to win the men's heart. And if he could win the men's heart to go against David, he could send them forth and they would destroy David.
Oh, yeah.
At one time, they used to sing praises to him.
Uh-huh.
Now he's deceived them and won their hearts to take him out. And that's what false religion is. That's what the Catholic Church wants to do. They want to win the heart of the young people, of the children. They want to convince them that this is right. And once they've done that, it takes an act of God and the power of God to change their minds. That's the way the enemy works. So David is on the run. Fear is after him. He's got all these people after him. Now, I don't know what it's like to have 12,000 men after me. But I know what it's like a little bit to see trouble after trouble come. Problem after problem. And it seems like those things, it seems like sometimes, if you stop and think about it, church, sometimes it seems like you get more bad news than you get good news. Yeah. Amen?
Oh, yeah.
Am I telling you the truth?
Oh,
and Satan wants to throw in a little fear to go with that. And then you think everything's good, and here comes something else. Here comes something else. You thought you got over that obstacle, and whammy, another one pops up. And fear grips us. And here, this was the situation with David. He had all these people against him. He knew what it was like, church, to have problem after problem with his family. And you're familiar with the stories, but how he had all the problems with the relationships in his family and the things that was going on and the sword coming against his family. He knew what it was to have problem after problem after problem, church. Jesus Christ knew what it was to have His own people turn against Him. Go over with me to Matthew. Let's read it. Matthew chapter 27. Praise God. I really desire your prayers this morning. Matthew chapter 27, verse 43. He trusted in God. Now, you're familiar, this is when Christ is on the cross. And we have people walking by, and they're shaking their heads at Him. And talking about, you know, He's the Son of God. Notice in Matthew 27, verse 43, He trusted in God. Let Him deliver Him now, if He will have Him, for He said, I am the Son of God. Now this is the same people that was at one time singing praises to Jesus Christ. And now they are out there before Pilate in the courts hollering out, crucify Him, crucify Him. Now they're out there while Christ is on the cross, and they're walking by shaking their heads and saying, if He be the Son of God, He claimed to be the Son of God, why can't He come down?
Yeah.
Now that's how people want to do the Christians. Those who want to stand up for what's right. They say, well, you've got problem after problem. Where's your God? Where's your God now? You've got this problem. You've got this problem. David had that same situation as we read. And he talks about it. He said, there'd be many that would say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. There is people now that is telling David and claiming, David has no help in God no more. Where's his God at? Why isn't God delivering him? This must be a man of God. This God must care for him. He's on the run. He's being hunted down like a beast. And God must be caring for him. They did that with Christ. And as I mentioned, people railed on him. Even the thief that was hanging on the cross told him, you know, if you be the Son of God, save yourself and me also.
Yeah.
And people think, well, you're a Christian. Why are you having this problem? Why you got cancer? Why you lost a loved one? Why are you having surgery? Why are you sick? Why is this going on? Where's your God?
Come on.
David had that. They railed on him the same way, as I read in verse 2. Many, he tells us, not just a few people, but he says, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. So David's got people coming. You've had people that probably... You probably have loved ones that look at you and think, man, why you got all these problems? You even got ministers on the TV preaching at you and telling you, if you're sick, it's because you sinned.
Yeah.
And you got all this faith in you. And you wonder, what's going on? Where's God at? Am I doing the right things? Have I made the right decisions? And his fear comes in. And David had that struggle. Christ had that struggle. We face those things. But I'm here to tell you that the psalmist David didn't give up. God still kept him. through all the trials and all the difficulties and the things he has went through, God still kept him. And I'm here to tell you, with all the doubt and fear and everything that may come against us, God has not forsaken us. God has not left us. God will keep us. I look at Brother Knox, and I know he won't mind me saying so, but I see him struggling physically. I see his health going down. But I know that God has not forsaken him.
Amen.
God is still going to take care of him. I read in Psalms chapter 71, if you want to go over there with me and look at it too. In Psalms 71, I read there in verse 11, the Bible says, saying, God has forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. There is people today are saying that there is none, that God cannot deliver you. God cannot help you. A lot of people would just give up on Brother Knox.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people would just give up on your situation. As Brother Ambrose said the other day, a couple weeks ago when he preached, you know, when you hear that word cancer, you've already quit believing in God. Amen? There's people that do that. You just cringe and think it's over, it's it. But God is still a God, and He will still take care of us, and He will provide for us. And God has not forsaken Brother Knox. God has not left him. God will still take care of him. I know it's appointed unto man to die. I know we're not going to leave this world, or we're going to go through the grave if Jesus tarries. I understand that. I know we're all going to die if Jesus tarries. But I'm telling you, God will take care of us right until we take our last breath, church. Notice in verse 18, that chapter 71. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed Thy strength unto this generation, and Thy power to everyone that is to come. I see that in Brother Knox. His physical strength may be deteriorating, but I see his spiritual strength being strong, and it's being testified to everywhere he goes that my God is still real. My God has helped me today. Yes, I'm weak in body. Yes, I'm frail in body. But my God has helped me make it through another day. The psalmist says, when I am old and gray-headed, God will not forsake me. God will not leave me. Praise God. We have nothing to fear in growing old. God will take care of us. God will provide for us. Amen. We wonder, our children, are they going to take care of us when we get old? Are they going to do it for us? And it's a sad thing when you see your children and won't take care of their own parents. I think it's a terrible thing. I've seen it with my family and with my mom and dad and things of that nature. I see that and it's terrible. I can't comprehend it. But I know one thing. I don't believe it'll happen, but my children won't take care of me when I'm old and feeble. I know my God will take care of me when I'm gray-headed and I'm losing my strength. I know my God will provide for me and He will make a way.
I
have no doubt in that. I'm not going to let that fear grip me. I'm not going to let that Satan get a hold of me with that. I am going to go forth and God will take care of us. We say, you're not there yet. No. I still trust Him when it takes place. Well, you haven't had cancer. No, I haven't. You haven't had no great major sickness or something take place. No, I haven't. I can say that. But I still believe God will take care of me. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you've been in that situation, God will see you through. Amen. Doesn't matter if the multitudes rise up against you. It doesn't matter if the family says it's a hopeless case. It doesn't matter if your dearest loved one says to you, why don't you curse God and die? I'm telling you, you stand true to God and God will see you through.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Don't let these things shake you, church. Put your trust in God. Where's your trust this morning? Are you putting your trust in mankind? Are you putting your trust in just the doctors? Are you putting your trust in this new election that's coming up? You think that's going to be the answer? You think they're just going, as soon as they step in office, it's all going to be better? No. We're not to trust man. I'm not going to put my trust in any of these such things. I'm going to put my trust in God. The Bible tells us, go with me over into Psalms 146. I'm not going to put my trust in mankind. I'm not going to put my trust just in the leaders of this country. I'll respect them and I will pray for them. But I'm not going to put my trust that they're going to win and turn this country around on their own. Because they're not going to do it, church. We must stand on the promises of God. Psalms 146 verse 3 says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. Amen? Don't put your trust in something that's going to fail. Don't put your trust in someone whose power is limited. I'm going to put my trust in God who will not fail. His power is not limited. His resources is not limited. He can take us through the worst situation. He can bring us out of it, or He can see us through it, church. He is not going to fail us. It doesn't matter as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stated and told the king, it doesn't matter if we go through the fire, if God delivers us, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter which way we're burned up in the fire. God is still God. Amen. And that's the way we must feel today, church. Amen. If death should come at its early age, God is still God. If sickness should come at an early age, it will take me to the grave. God will see me through it. And He has not forsaken us, church. Amen. If the Muslims take over tomorrow, my God's still on the throne. Right. Not their gods. Right. They burn us at the stake. He's still God. Yes. And He'll keep me till I draw my last breath. I don't want to be gross, but I'm telling you, when Paul was on that chopping block, God was with him.
Right.
God was with him.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, when that blade came down, He severed his head from his body. For his head quit rolling. He was in the presence of God.
Right.
He was in the presence of God.
Oh, yeah.
Standing for Almighty God.
Right.
God didn't leave him.
Right.
God saw him through it. Fear didn't grip him. Even though his own brother told him, don't go there. If you go there, you're going to be put to death. So I'm ready to die.
That's right.
I'm ready to die.
Thank you, Jesus.
And church, that is the stand we have to take. Sickness will come. Problems will arise. Difficulties may be before us. But God has not forsaken us. In old age, God has not forsaken us. And whatever this may take place in this country in the years to come, God will not forsake His children.
Amen.
Praise God. Don't be afraid to cry out to God in the time of trouble. Don't be afraid when destruction comes to call upon the name of the Lord. I believe He will hear us and He'll see us through. Go over into Psalms chapter 109. Go down to Psalms 109. And notice there. Verse 26. Praise God. What's He say? Verse 26. What's the first words? Help. Help me. Help me. Oh Lord my God. Oh save me according to Thy mercy. Don't be afraid. When fear, whatever comes, whatever problem comes, don't be afraid to cry out and say, help me, Lord. Go to Psalms 12. Psalms 12. Go there, please. Psalms 12. What's the very first word he says there? Oh, that was a weak help.
Help.
Help. It wasn't just help me, Lord. Woe is me. I believe the psalmist started out this song with, help me, Lords.
Amen.
Help me, Lords. I'm being overcome. There's things taking place. I don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. Help me, Lords. Don't be afraid to call out. It doesn't mean you're weak. It means you're depending on the almighty hand of God. Don't be afraid to say, help me, Lords. Help me, Lords. He says, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Is that today?
Yeah.
Is a godly man ceasing?
Yeah. Oh.
It's hard to find one.
Right.
And when you go out in the world, I mean, you have a lot to claim it and name it, but that's it. They don't live it.
Right.
And the godly man is fading away. And now they want to come after those who want to stay in true. And I believe, church, with it coming to that, you're going to have to do like he said in that very first word. Help me, Lords. Because I'm telling you, when wickedness, when iniquity abounds, I'm telling you, things will get worse and worse and worse.
Yes.
When there is more wickedness and when there is more ungodliness in this world, you're going to have to cry out, help me, Lords. This, I believe, was a help of desperation. God, I need you. I need your help. God hasn't forsaken us. God hasn't left us, church. We may be diagnosed with some kind of sickness tomorrow. We may have some kind of tragedy. I'm telling you, it could just take an earthquake. And it could wipe out the eastern side of America. And I mean, it'll bring this country to its knees.
Yes.
Just an earthquake. A 5-second earthquake. That's all it would take. But God is not going to leave His children.
Right.
God is not going to forsake us.
Right.
Destruction comes, it comes. But I am still a child of God.
Yes.
Brother John, Brother Sister Hooten, when you saw that flood water starting to rise in your house, it had to be a terrible sight. But God didn't leave you. God didn't leave you. As you saw it getting closer to the door, and started coming in the house, and just keep going up, and you're seeing your possessions being destroyed by water. God didn't leave you. But fear wants to grip us. What am I going to do? Where am I going to live? What's going to happen? But God didn't leave us.
No.
Did God work it through? God worked it all out. Oh, it was a hard time. It was a struggle. It was a difficult time. It was a tiresome time. Yes. I don't doubt that one bit. But God saw him through it, church. God saw him through it. And whatever we may face, church, God will see us through it. But don't be afraid to call out for help. Amen. Depend on the Lord's. Psalms 146. You know what happens a lot of times? Why we don't call out on the Lord? Psalms 146. Verse 5. Happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord. His God. Happy is the man who has no problems. Is that what it says? No. Happy is the man, or happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. You know why a lot of times we don't cry out for help? Because we know we ain't been doing right ourselves.
Come on. Come on, brother.
Man. Amen.
Come on.
And that's when fear will grip you.
Yeah.
That's when fear will really get a hold of you. I ain't been living right. I ain't been faithful to God. I ain't been faithful to the house of God. I haven't been proclaiming His name. And then something comes along. Can I call on God after the way I've been living? Huh? Can I do that? I ain't been faithful. And now I'm in a situation. What am I going to do? That will bring fear. But I find the Bible says, happy is the man. And God is his help.
Oh, yeah.
And for that to take place, it's because I've been faithful, God. I've been doing right. I've been living right. I've been drawn closer to you. I've been loving you. I've been in communion with you. I've been faithful to the house of God. And now our tragedy has come. I've been in a situation and I can cry out to you, help. Help me, Lord. And fear's not going to grip me because you're in control. And I'm putting my trust in you. I shared a few weeks ago when we had our prayer meeting, a couple weeks ago when I had a prayer meeting. I believe I shared it then. And talking about after the millennium, Jesus Christ comes, sets His new kingdom up here. And or during the millennium, then after the millennium, then He has His kingdom set up here. And I mentioned about Satan being loose. Brother Woods preached about that and taught about that. Satan's going to be loose for a short season. Now, someone asked a question, or he made the statement, how can people give in to Satan when they are in that perfect environment, when Satan is turned loose for that short season? How could people do that? There's no temptations. There's godliness everywhere in the millennium. Holiness unto the Lord's. But He is going to have such deception that He's going to be turned loose for a short season. We don't know how long. Just a short season is all the Bible tells us. But in that period, He's going to deceive many people. And you think, how in the world could He do that? How did He deceive the angelic host? How could He have done that and caused them to fall and go with Him? That is the power of deception, church. With everything right, there's no wickedness all around Him. There's not temptations on every corner. He still deceived mankind. That tells me how much more we better be faithful and on fire for God today. Because everywhere you turn, it's wickedness. Everywhere you turn, it's ungodliness.
Amen.
Everywhere we go. That's why you better be on fire for God. That's why you better be attending the house of God every chance you can. Every time the doors are open and you're able, you better come. Because you're going to need that strength. Because Satan wants to destroy you. Satan wants to take you out. And you don't stay back and say, I think I can make it on my own. No, you can't. You're no match for him. You better be on fire for God, because in these last days, the power of deception, church, is going to take out many people.
Amen.
It doesn't have to be some kind of temptation. All it's got to be is God or Satan to cause you to doubt. If he can get you to doubt God, he's made it. He'll take you on down, church. You better be in tune with God. And you better cry out, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Make sure that your God is on, that you're on His side. Amen. Make sure you're in tune with God, church. Amen. This last days we're living, because I'm telling you, it's going to be a rough time. But I can't explain it and say it enough. God will see you through.
Amen.
God will see you through.
Yes.
We're going to keep praying for people. We're going to keep laying hands on God or on people. And God's going to do a work. We're going to keep trusting God, church.
Right.
And I believe God's going to keep us. But it's going to be a difficult time. That's what it's going to be. God hasn't forsaken us. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Do you believe that today?
Amen.
I believe whatever we may face tomorrow, church, don't put your trust in mankind. Be willing to cry out, help me, Lord.
Yes.
Help me, Lord.
Oh, yes.
And God will see you through. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand this morning. He's gone.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you, precious.
Praise the Lord. I don't know what we might face tomorrow, church. I just don't know. But I'm not going to sit there and panic. I'm not going to sit here and fret. I'm not going to sit there and worry. If I do break my leg, my arm, God's my provider. He's my provider. He will make a way. How? I don't have a clue right now if that was to happen. He doesn't have to tell me that. I'm just going to trust Him. And we must do that, church. I can't explain that enough to you tonight, this morning. Put your trust in God. Don't let fear grip us. Things don't look good, but God is in control.
Yes, He is. Amen.
And I will not fear man, but I will put my trust in God. Amen. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your Word today, God. God, I pray, Lord, that I have shared with these people today. God, I pray, Lord, that You just help us, God. God, tomorrow may bring problems. Tomorrow may bring difficulties, God. But I'm going to put my trust in You, Lord. I'm going to depend on You, God. God, if my loved ones forsake me, Lord, I'm going to trust You, God. I'm going to put my faith in You, Lord. God, if disaster should come, Lord. God, I pray, Father, that You just do a work, God, in our lives and just help us, God. God, just to stand on Your Word and stand on our promises, Lord. God, I know, Lord, there's many things that may face, God, in our future, Lord. God, I just pray, Lord, God, that You'd help us, Lord. Help us, oh God, I pray, Jesus. Help us, Lord, I pray, God. We need You, Lord. We need Your touch, God. Help us, Lord, I pray, God. Help us today, Lord. Oh, God, I pray, Father, do a work, Lord. Oh, God, I pray, Father, do a work, Jesus. I pray, God, help us, Lord. I ask You, oh God, that our confidence be in You, Lord, and not in mankind. I pray, Lord, that You just help us, Lord, to lean on You, God. And everything that we face, God, help us, Lord. God, it seems like problem after problem may come, God. But, Lord, help us to trust in You, God. Put our confidence in You, Lord Jesus. God, not to lean on our own understanding, Lord. But I pray, God, that You just do a work, Lord. Oh, God, we need You, Lord. God, we need You, Lord Jesus. We need You, God. Oh, God, help us, Lord, I pray, God. Help us, Lord, I pray, Jesus. Oh, God, God. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Praise Your name, Lord. Praise God, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Praise Your name, Lord. Praise Your name, Lord. Praise Your name, Lord. Praise Your name, Lord. Praise Your name, God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Praise God. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord.